Have we been thinking about the running back depth chart all wrong?
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it. Happy Monday. Hope everyone enjoyed the big game. The playoff committee got it wrong. It was a blowout in the blowout in the Super Bowl. The playoff committee must have gotten it wrong. Obviously, that was a joke because they don't use a committee, but it's just funny to talk about considering it's the best league in the world, and you have a complete and utter blowout in the world championship. But it happens. Sometimes it just happens. But we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about running backs. Have we been thinking about this running back quote-unquote battle in the spring all wrong? Have we been looking at the running back position in general a little bit different from maybe some of the bigger players in college football? We'll break all that down and get into it in just a second. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. Go to UncleKeith'sRedSauce.com. Use coupon code TheBarn25 to take 25% off your order. Look, if you live in the Auburn area, you just about can't go into a store and not find this stuff. You can find it even at Ace Hardware, Publix, Kroger, all the local grocery stores in town. You should be able to find it. If you're tired of the same old tasting store-bought salsa, you need to give Uncle Keith's Red Sauce a try. No additives, no preservatives, just fresh product, locally made. And the biggest part of it all, Auburn family, Auburn guy, Auburn product. You can support them and show them some love. So definitely check them out. Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. It's good, y'all. So let's talk about running backs. I've been thinking about this a lot over the last couple of weeks. And as we creep a little bit closer to spring practice, a lot of the talk to me has been in questions. Hey, what is going to be the carry breakdown? Who's going to be the lead guy? Who's going to be this? Who's going to be that? And the more and more I look at college football in general and the direction it's going, and, you know, even in the NFL to some extent. Now, look, if you have a Saquon Barkley, that changes things. Okay. But for the most part, you're starting to see a lot more of the committee approach become just like sort of everybody does it. Like that sort of becomes like the ideal setup that, no, if you can find that unicorn, you know, if you can find that, get that one lead guy, sure, roll with it. But why not have two? Why not have two guys that can share the load, that can feed off each other and have success and have longevity? There's so many aspects to that, and I'm starting to wonder, is that sort of going to be maybe not even necessarily just the plan for this year, but maybe moving forward, do Auburn running backs go to more of a committee approach? Do you have to have a feature back to be successful? I don't think that's the case anymore. You just look at the national championship this year. Ohio State had Quinshon Judkins and Trevion Henderson. There's only 50 carries difference between those two guys, and they beat the crap out of everybody. 50 carries difference over 16 games, that's three carries a game. And they almost had, they had very similar yardage, very similar touchdowns. They were just dominant on offense. Now, they obviously had a lot of other pieces, but from the running game perspective, I mean, both of them went over 1,000 yards. It can be done for sure. Notre Dame had Love and Price, only 43 carries difference between them over 16 games. So even less difference in carries per game. And both of those offenses, you know, had a lot of success, obviously enough success to get to the national championship. Is it even really ideal anymore to have just one guy that you pound? I can think of a number of different reasons, but from a management standpoint, I don't remember the exact player, but there was a stretch there where we had Trey Mason, Cameron Artis Payne, and Kerryon Johnson, and those guys, just let's just be honest, they were running to the ground. Like, they went into the NFL with a ton of mileage, Trey Mason in particular, and then obviously Kerryon Johnson, to where there was just nobody behind him, and you know, you basically just ran him until he got injured. He got injured in the Alabama game, and he was dinged up in the SEC championship, and it really kind of hindered your whole offense. But I say all that to say, I feel like I remember a recruit in particular where it was coming down between Auburn and someone else, and he felt like he, you know, didn't want to have 30 carries a game. You know, he wanted to be, have a little bit of fresh legs left when he got to the NFL. I'm wondering almost if having that one guy that gets just a ton of carries is even really desirable anymore. You know, Georgia, that's another one. Georgia's been this way for quite a while too. You got to go all the way back to 2020 to find a guy at Georgia that had just the vast amount of carries. They've sort of been sort of a 1-2 punch for, you know, 4 or 5 years now. I'm just wondering if instead of this being a true running back battle, is it going to be a 1 versus 2 versus 3 trying to find that elite, that number one guy? I'm wondering, is it going to be less about that and more about which two out of the three are going to be your 1-2 punch? Which two out of the three are going to be the guys that you lean on in the running game? Which two out of the three are you going to sort of turn it over to build the offense around? I wonder if it's going to be almost that a little bit more this year, this spring, instead of just like your position battle. I think about it also from a roster management perspective. How hard is it to keep guys now if they're not playing? Now, I'm not saying that you build your whole team and your mindset and your offense around the fact that, you're worried that you're going to lose somebody. So in other words, you're not always thinking in the back of your mind, we have to build everything around the fact that we want to try to keep everybody, even if that lends something negative or that hinders you. I don't think that's necessarily the case. But it's got to be a little bit in the back of your mind, you know, hey, instead of, let's find one guy and give him 25 carries a game. What if we just go out and find two that will be cool with getting 12 to 13 carries a game each? They know that they're going to be fresh when they go in. They know they're not going to have a ton of miles on them when they get to the NFL. It's something that you can sell as well. I don't know. I'm wondering if that's maybe a little bit more of what we'll see out of this running back room this year and maybe moving forward. Darrell Robinson, to me, is really the wild card here. Darrell Robinson's really the wild card here because the other two guys have a lot of similarities in their game. They both have really good explosion. Damari is a little bit more patient of a runner and a little bit better, I think, better vision at this point in time. But he's more of a be patient and then explode. And Cobb is more of an explode right off the bat. Like he's going full speed right off the bat. That may be something he needs to work on a little bit more. But they both seemingly, you know, catch balls out of the backfield pretty well. And they have similar top end speed, similar size. There's just not a lot of difference between the two. You know, you look at their whole game from top to bottom, they're very similar. And then you got Darrell Robinson, who's 6'1", you know, over 6 foot, over 200 pounds, maybe not necessarily the biggest burner out of the three. Probably a little bit more physical out of the three. Completely different style of running back. Where does this guy fit in? Unfortunately, hopefully he's going to be full speed by the time spring rolls around. I mean, we got a month. So, I mean, March 17th is when spring starts. I mean, we got a little bit over a month, but he's in a boot at the moment. I think he's not on crutches, but he's in a boot, which is, so if you're walking on a little bit in a boot without crutches, that's typically a good sign. You're probably not too far away, but you want him to be full speed just so you can get the full money, so to speak, of what he can do, because he's so different from the other two. How does that fit in? If it's the best two out of the three, does Darrell Robinson have a chance to slide in and be one of those two? And then, you know, you kind of figure out what you do with the third. I don't know. Could it be to where, I mean, I hate to say this, but this is reality. If the two out of the three, the two out of the three sort of materialize, does the third one leave in the spring? There's just a whole lot of different directions this thing could go. And I'm just wondering if we've been thinking about things a little bit off. That's another thing. If you're trying to go create a feature back, as easy as it is, it kind of speaks to roster retention, but as easy as it is to leave now, if you go try to find one feature back, what happens when the spring portal opens? If they don't feel like they see a light at the end of tunnel, light at the end of the tunnel as far as playing time, what happens in the spring portal? Things could get a little tricky. I could not imagine being like a Will Redmond or Hugh Freeze in general, trying to figure out ways to get the max out of your team. But at the same time, always in the back of your mind has to be, you have to be thinking strategically as far as roster retention goes. It's got to be maddening. It's just got to keep you up at night. Did he get enough carries at practice? Oh, did we run that play that I had for him so that we, make sure that he can see that he's going to be featured. He's going to be a part of things. It's just crazy. And then you throw the freshman in the mix. You only have one for spring, Alvin Henderson. But then when summer rolls around, you got a pretty sporty young guy who's already going to come in similarly built to these, you know, at least three out of the four guys. Again, Darrell Robinson's the wild card. We don't have anybody like him on the roster. He's one of a kind as far as his physique and how he's put together. But you're going to have four other running backs, you know, all shorter in stature, but stocky guys. You know, that seems to be sort of like the mold these days of what a elite running back is. They're shorter, but they're, you know, lower center of gravity. But they're just like little bowling balls. They can run, they can bounce off and shed tackles and take it to the house. What are these freshmen? What does their pathway look like? And I would say it's probably not much. There's not much, unless you have several leave in the spring. There's just not a clear pathway to either one of those guys really getting ample snaps this coming up year, unless they just completely surprise everybody. I'm not sure that I see it. I really like what Auburn has. I really like the possibilities that a dual running back system sort of gives you. Always having somebody fresh. I mean, you look at the stats from last year, and Damari averaged, you know, over 5 yards a carry. He only had 52 carries, but he averaged over 5 yards a carry. That's very, very good. Jeremiah Cobb right at 5 yards a game. And some of that I just think is just because of experience, you know, just because of the lack of carries and the development of the vision that it takes to be, you know, successful, especially in sort of like a zone running scheme where you kind of got to be patient and there's not necessarily a designated gap that you're going to hit, you know, like back when I played high school football, it was like, hey, run between the tackles, or this one's off the, you know, run off the guard's hip, or this is a toss sweep. No, this is a lot more complex. You got to be a little bit patient and you got to be able to diagnose it and hit the hole and go. And I think that just takes time to develop. But man, oh man, the tools that both of these guys have, I think they could be a really good 1-2 punch. There are guys that you can put them in there, and really the only difference you'll be able to tell is the numbers on the jersey. I really think that. I really think they're that complementary of each other. You don't have to have one of those guys have 20 carries a game. I just don't think this offense is going to have that. But, man, if you could have, you know, 10 to 12 really fresh carries from both of them, you got something there. And then throw in whatever you get out of Darrell Robinson, if you can keep him on the roster as part of that sort of that 1-2-3 punch and figure out where he fits. It's going to be an interesting spring. It's going to be an interesting spring to see how everything shakes out. I'd love to know your thoughts. Is it more ideal to have a committee approach, or would you rather see Auburn? I know Auburn tradition would probably lend itself to seeing, you know, that feature back, that Carnell Williams, that Trey Mason, that Kerryon Johnson, that guy. I know that the committee approach probably is I say Carnell Williams, but hell, the best year that Auburn had, maybe arguably the best year in history, it was a committee approach. Now, granted, it was two first rounders, so that makes it a lot easier. But I mean, I think tradition, you want to see Rudy Johnson, Steven Davis. You know, that those guys that are going to get they're going to be your big time NFL feature backs, and they're going to get a pile of carries in a game. I just don't think that's going to be the style anymore. And definitely under Hugh Freeze, I don't think that's going to be the style. So it's going to be something we're going to have to get used to. But I think maybe if we learn how to adapt to it, I think it could be something fun and something beneficial, definitely for a lot of different reasons that I mentioned already. So let me get your thoughts. What do you think about the running back room in general? What do you think? What would be the ideal scenario that you would like to see? And who are the best? If it's a two-man show, if it's a two-man committee, which two out of the three do you think make the most sense? I'd love to hear it all. Let me know in the comments. I typically respond to every single one of them. Look, guys, there's just not a ton going on right now up until spring. So hang in there with us. We'll have some fun stuff to talk to, maybe have some guests and things like that to make it more interesting. But we're going to get after it, though, every single day. You know we're going to be here every single day. And don't forget to show some love to Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. Don't forget that coupon code if you want to order online. If you don't have a local store that you can get it, you can go online, get that red top, get that black top, whatever. Get the mixture pack. Get the pack where it's got both of them in there. So you can try a little mild, try a little spicy. But don't forget the coupon code, TheBarn25, to take 25% off. And then don't forget about TheBarnAuburn.com. We're still running $25 off your annual membership all of 2025. So I really appreciate it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be back every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.